This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
And, all right, this is Black Hole Sundays. And, Joe, in totality, we've done what? Like, four episodes so far? I believe this is the fourth or fifth?
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Well, in totality for Black Hole Sundays, this is officially the 40th episode. So we're at a bi-week spectacular here in 2021, and we're at episode number 40 of Black Hole Sundays. And I got to tell you, Joe, did not expect to be 5-2 at this point going into the bye week after that game against the Eagles, man. How you doing, by the way?
Doing great. It's Halloween weekend, Steve. It's a Friday. It's a payday Friday. Feeling good, bud. Yeah. Feel good. Once the paper hits, so everything else is just, well, for some, I guess most of mine just went to bills, but we'll still enjoy it, I guess.
You just spend it all on Benny's Halloween costume or what?
Oh, I got that like a month ago. Yeah, you got to go to Spirit early, Steven, as you know. You got to stock up early. When's the last time you dressed up, by the way? Went out to go to a Halloween store.
Oh, well, I went to the Spirit store twice this year.
Okay.
And
it's not cheap.
No, it's not. We were going to buy costumes that were worth like $35, and it was just a simple pullover. I'm like, I'm not paying $35 for that.
Too, all the stuff, it's just so cheap. Unless you're a sponsor, we love you, Spirit. No, they're not.
I was going to say, whoopsie.
No, they're not. I feel like Halloween too over the years. Like, it's, man, we went to Target when we were kids, right? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now I just see these like vacant lots and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, Spirit's probably going to be there in a couple months because that's just an empty store. And any empty store in a strip mall somehow turns into a Spirit Halloween. It's funny.
You ever hear the comedian Sebastian Maniscalco?
It's funny you said that. Mark Willard of Willard and Dibbs brought that same comedian up to me this morning. He's like, hey, you guys ever seen this Sebastian Maniscalco guy? Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen him like once or twice. Yeah. He was in The Irishman.
Well, the reason I bring him up is because he mentions with Ross, one of his first jokes, like when he was up and coming, was how at Ross, it looks like somebody, whenever they would shop there, if they didn't like what they got, they would just crow hop and toss it across the store and just have it go in some random section. That's how it is with the Spirit store. Just everything is all over the place, especially at this point.
We went early, I think. So like because they open like September 1st, I think usually it's like open for 2 months. So we went like mid September and we did it pretty early. So it wasn't too messed up. But yeah, I remember going to the one over in Emeryville, and that thing, if it's like the week of Halloween, it's just thrashed. Terrible. But I'm doing the little Benny, little 2-year-old. He's Spider-Man. So we got the Spider-Man outfit. Showed you that this morning.
Nice.
Me and the miss is just doing like little shirts. Like we're doing little Avengers. I got a Captain America shirt. She's got a Spider-Man shirt. So it's like, okay. It's like
Halloween popping around your neighborhood or no?
It's great question because we haven't really done it with, because last year, I mean, he was only one. So it's like, what? You're not taking it. And it's COVID last year. So it's like, eh. So I haven't done the trick or treating thing since like I trick or treated. So yeah. Like it's been a while. So we'll do like the mommy group thing and we'll look it up and do all that sort of stuff. Of course. Yeah. Hopefully just do it early because he has a bedtime, Steve. I got to get to sleep by 8. All right. Got to stick to the schedule. Big deal. The schedule. Sticking to the schedule is big.
Yeah. Well, schedule's important. Routine's important.
Raiders are stuck to the schedule. I'll tell you that. With these last two wins, how about that for a segue? Huh?
Oh man, that's perfect. Because look, in this episode, I was gonna just turn it into surprises and disappointments, but instead, you came in with the idea of doing trick or treat since we're doing Halloween stuff. So I'd say. For this, not only just for this team, but also for the season in general, one trick and one treat. The MVP so far up to this bye week, we do have some updates on trade talks as well. And then I want to go into the Mount Rushmore of their free agent signings, their top four guys. There's a bunch of people on the list, but there are four who stand out. So we will get to all of that. Unfortunately, we didn't have the episode on Monday because of an emergency. So we are doing this one on Friday. Before we get to any of this bye week stuff, any quick thoughts overall on the week 7 win over the Philadelphia Eagles?
That was a complete win, man. I think that was like other than the Broncos game, that was a complete from all angles. Just you got the pass rush going. The offensive line looked good. Derek was throwing dimes. You had guys stepping up. Foster Moreau, Kenyon Drake, all these guys stepping up. I think that was the most complete win of the season for the Raiders thus far in a sneaky little, I shouldn't say sneaky because the Eagles, they're not very good, but they can give you problems. They do have a good defense. Darius Slay is a really good defender in the secondary. They got guys in that front. Jalen Hurts can make you pay. He's can run, but I thought they did a good job overall just responding to that early adversity. They got down in a quick 7-0 hole. It's like, this is reminding me of the Bears game a little bit.
Yeah,
it looked like they were just grounding and pounding.
That is exactly what you texted me.
I did. I texted you that. Like, this reminds me of the Bears game. I mean, inexperienced young quarterback. They're just going to run the ball down our throats, and we're not going to do anything. Yeah. But the defense made adjustments. They stepped up. Yanni Kangakwe, game of his Raiders career so far, he just looked awesome. He got 2 sacks, 2 passes defended. Looked awesome. Crosby getting there. Just a complete performance overall.
I mean, how about Foster Moreau, Darren Waller on National Tight End Day? Which
that stunk, by the way. There's no Kittle, no Waller. Some of the best tight ends not playing. It stunk.
I know, but I will say this. I watched the mic'd up. I watched the game day mic'd up thing that the NFL posts every week. And how excited these players get for National Tight End Day. And the fact that the teammates know it's National Tight End Day. It's a pretty cool thing that they've created. They're really into it, it seems like.
It is. And you know what? I have Darren Waller and Mark Andrews in my 95-7 fantasy league, and they both have a bye this week. Mm. And Darren Waller was a late scratch, obviously. He hurt his ankle. Yeah. They said it was going to be a damn time decision, but they ended up getting scratched late Saturday night or early morning, I think it was.
I think it was early morning.
It was. I ended up going with O.J. Howard. God, he stunk for the Bucks. Terrible move. Should have gone Foster Moreau. Should have stuck with my guns here, Steven. Didn't. Great throw and trusting in your tight end, Moreau, with a fantastic catch. And, man, if Darren Waller wasn't on this team, I think you'd hear a lot more about Foster Moreau because he's very skilled. I mean, even before a couple of years ago, before they brought in Jason Witten, he was just making touchdowns all over the place.
Yeah, and he makes tough catches. That one he had in the end zone – I mean, I'm trying to think of that other catch that was over the helmet where the
dude that was against the Steelers. Yeah, he had one against the Steelers. That was a big touchdown. Yep.
I mean, he is a really solid backup tight end if you're going to have one. And
he'd be a starter in a lot of teams. He'd absolutely be the number one tight end in a lot of teams.
And I think one thing National Tight End Day made me realize is actually there's, you know, fantasy-wise, there's not many tight ends you want to roll with. But as far as just good, talented, athletic tight ends in the league, there are a lot of them. Even though they don't put up the fantasy stats, we always judge it from fantasy. But in reality, there's a lot of good tight ends. And, I mean, Foster Moreau is one of them, man. I mean, 6 receptions for 60 yards. He had the touchdown. 6 targets. He caught every single one. Just an outstanding game from him. But, you know, it's the man. It's Derek Carr. 31 of 34, 323 yards, 2 touchdowns. That interception on the first possession of the game. I mean, this dude is just – He's running everything. How many more ways can we talk about him in just him having this MVP type of season?
Yeah, no, he's the leader. I mean, you heard Rich Bisaccia say it post game. I mean, this is the leader of our team. People are looking to Derek. Like in the past, I think I saw someone tweet, maybe it was you. In the past, like Gruden would take a timeout or something like that, and everyone would just like look at Gruden, and everyone would be like a little, all right, we're on our toes, stuff like that. Now Derek takes a timeout. Everyone's to Derek. All right, Derek, what are we going to do? We're looking to this guy. And Derek feeds off that. Like, he is a natural leader. That's something that, I mean, you can knock maybe his toughness. People were calling out early in his career, coming out of college, coming out of Fresno State. Right. Maybe he just wasn't the quickest or fastest guy. But no one questioned the intangibles. Like, no one questioned his leadership. This guy has been a leader throughout his tenure in Oakland and now Las Vegas. And it's showing up huge, man. It's showing up huge. I mean, him trusting and Foster Moreau, like we mentioned, him trusting his quarterback, like making throws like that, just being able to extend plays, calling audibles. Because it always felt like, I don't know with you, but when I would watch the game, it's like there was always a set call from Gruden. And then Derek almost always checked out of it, it seemed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It always seemed like that to me. Yeah. And now it just looks like him and Olsen are in such a groove in this offense, just lighting it up. So refreshing. Just so refreshing.
I was listening to this podcast called Tapeheads, which is really good, twice a week. Dan Orlovsky, Scott Pioli, and then this dude, Bob Wischusen, who's like the voice of the Jets, also does some ESPN stuff. And Orlovsky was going through, and I think he breaks down tape just as well as anybody. A lot of people, he rubs people the wrong way, but in reality, backup quarterbacks, they know just as much as anybody does as far as breaking down film, because that's all they did when they were playing in the league. And when Dan Orlovsky is looking at Derek Carr, he says that when he was asked about Derek Carr, you know what he says? He goes, the defense can play man. Okay, well, he's just going to use his talent around him and beat you there. Ruggs is going to get past somebody. Darren Waller's just going to match up one-on-one. Foster Moreau can do the same thing. Brian Edwards is a big receiver and can make contested catches. You play zone on him, well, all he's going to do is use his eyes to direct the safety, the corner, whoever, and then he's just going to gash you there. Like, there's nothing that any defense can do right now to stop Derek Carr. Like, that's how dominant he's been looking.
Yeah, just like any quarterback, one thing you can do to get to him, you have to get to him. Like, that's it. Like, right. You have to put pressure on him. You have to hit him. But he's always been one of the quickest release guys in the league. Like, it's him, Aaron Rodgers, and that's pretty much it. Just boom, boom, out. Boom, boom, out. And he's compensated that because his offensive line's been bad. Offensive line, by the way, was great last game. I mean, Andre James, after we crushed him, and deservedly so, the first 4 or 5 games of the season, he's been playing well. I mean, Leatherwood, that was definitely Leatherwood's best game of his career, I think, so just so far. I mean, maybe, I think, Denver, but I'd say this is the most complete performance from all of those guys. And hopefully after this bye week, maybe get Richie Incognito back. Not holding my breath there, but you never know. I mean, the guy's old and he has a calf injury, so maybe that could bolster it, though. That'd be a big lift. Brandon Parker, I mean, Carden, that was – guy had 2 incomplete passes. He had one of the greatest performances ever accuracy-wise. I mean, it's him, Drew Brees, and him again with 90% of your passes completed with a minimum of 30 attempts. Derek Carr, Drew Brees, that's it. Historically, one of the greatest games I think I've ever seen Derek play.
And we all know the talent that Drew Brees has played with before and just how, you know, how much of a train that offense was. And another guy we didn't even mention here, Colton Miller. Colton Miller on the left side has been fantastic. And according to Pro Football Focus, take with it what you will, whenever they have those middle of the road grades, like when they're saying they're the 32nd ranked defensive back out of 142, I'm like, okay, whatever. But when it comes to, you know, the top grades, they're saying right now that through week 7, Colton Miller is right behind Tyron Smith of the Dallas Cowboys in his pass blocking grade. He has, Colton Miller, that is, has an 86.7, and Tyron Smith has an 87 flat, so 0.3 behind the number one guy in the league.
It's so crazy, too, because it all came down to a coin flip, if you remember that draft, obviously, and then it was the Raiders and 49ers, and they literally had to do a coin flip to see who was getting, what was it, pick number 10 and 11 or 9 and 10, whatever, something like that, whatever it was. But then the Niners ended up winning that, because of course they did. It seemed like during whatever, just everything was going the Niners' way. Nothing was going the Raiders' way. And then the Niners ended up taking McGlinchey. Ended up taking McGlinchey, and then we got Miller. So, I mean,
the coin flip. That one. The coin flip.
We literally had to do a coin flip, Stephen, to see who was doing a draft pick. What are we doing?
Flip a coin. I forgot about that. Yes. And then that was when they traded away Mac, and they could have had a chance to get Derwin James, if I'm not mistaken, in that draft. I think that was the one.
Yeah, we ended up taking Colton Miller.
And you know what? It's worked out so far. Yes. And maybe as far as the you know, the guys who have felt the most pressure when it comes to Gruden being on the field, I have a feeling like Gruden was doing some of that offensive line. And then Tom Cable, too. I don't know. Maybe there it's pretty clear, like, this offense has been playing okay this season, but it's pretty clear that the offensive line has had a total jolt ever since Gruden's been gone. And speaking of pressure, Joe, I'm very happy I could do this. I didn't know I could put a photo over this video, but if you look here, and I don't know how much you're into the next-gen stats per se, and some of them are pretty.
Is this the Amazon Next Gen Stats?
Yes. Brought to you by AWS. There you go. But look at this graph here with the Raiders compared to everybody else on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to pressure.
I'm looking at that right now.
Raiders are higher than every other team in terms of pressure rate. They're at 38.7%. Which is far higher than anybody else. And when it says third highest next to that, next to the percentage, that means third highest ever since Next Gen Stats has become a thing. And they've blitzed just as little as anyone else, a 15% rate, which is the lowest in the NFL. And they're getting just as much pressure on anyone in the NFL. I mean, look at that, dude.
That's wild. That's just a Gus Bradley staple, though, man. He's like, I don't want to blitz a lot. I'm going to let my front four do their thing.
Uh-huh.
And then when they do blitz, it's very successful. I mean, you saw the main, what was that? Week one against the Ravens. You saw them do that at the very end of the game. It was just their second blitz call or third blitz call of the game. Ended up getting the game-saving fumble off Lamar, and then ended up winning the game, obviously. But Gus Bradley, man, he just does not like to pressure or bring blitzes a lot. I mean, you're getting guys like Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Quentin Jefferson. Jefferson's been awesome. You're getting these guys just winning their mashups, and it's paying dividends in the secondary too, man. The secondary, like Casey Hayward, Nate Hobbs, Jonathan Abram, it's giving these guys a little bit of a cushion, and it's huge.
Look at that. Look at these teams that they're beating. The Browns. The Browns, who have Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney on their team. The Chargers, who have Joey Bosa and Linval Joseph up the middle. The Cardinals, who have Chandler Jones and had J.J. Watt for a little bit until he got hurt and apparently had like four different injuries at the same time. But the Bills, the Eagles, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Buccaneers, all of these teams.
The Buccaneers, that's one surprising too, because their front four is pretty gnarly. And I mean,
the Niners.
Yeah, the Niners. I mean, Nick Bosa has been a little underwhelming. Armstead. I mean, Nick Bosa's still, I shouldn't say underwhelming, but he's coming off an injury. So that's wow. I'm honestly shocked because I know Max Crosby's in the consideration right now for defensive player there. It's early. It's really early. I think he's good odds, though, if you're a gambling guy, plus 2,500, put 10 bucks there. I mean,
it's not bad.
Right now, absolutely.
I don't know how long Trayvon Diggs can keep up this interception streak that he's on right now. I think he still has 7 on the season, and he's kind of the number one defensive player of the year candidate right now.
He's getting the turnovers, but he's still getting burned occasionally. That's right. The thing too. Crosby, I feel like, in all due respect to secondary players, I mean, I'm trying to think of the amount of secondary players of one defensive player of the year last like decade. I know it's Gilmore's one of them.
Won it most recently, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's – I mean, everything else I feel like is – it's a D end or linebacker. You
know, we're going to do that right now. We're going to take a look. And as we're Googling it here, because I do have some pressure stats that I want to get to you, but let's look. NL or National Football League Defensive Player of the Year. And we're going down to 2020. Yeah, Aaron Donald, Stephon Gilmore, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Luke Kuechly, J.J. Watt, Terrell Suggs, Troy Polamalu. So you're looking
all the way back to literally Stephon Gilmore and Polamalu. Like,
you're looking at two guys in the secondary that have won it. Actually, you know what? We can go back to 2009, Charles Woodson before Polamalu.
There you go.
Packers. Okay. So since 2009, in the last 12 years, only three guys in the secondary. And I don't know if Diggs is going to keep that up. You know, I don't think he matches up with Hall of Famers and Polamalu and Woodson right now. But continuing with the pressure, because pressures, to me, are the most important defensive line stat. Sacks don't always tell the story because some of them can be empty. That's why Trey Hendrickson, who's on the Bengals now, originally with the Saints, had double-digit sacks because nobody was blocking him. But here, listen to these pressure numbers, dude. So this year, or right now, excuse me, they've been averaging 11.5 pressures on the season. 11.5. Right now, they're at 81 in total. And if you take the math, take the average of that, it is 11.5. That means they're on pace for 197 pressures this season. And last year, the leading team in pressures were the Steelers, who were at 213. So it's not exactly up to the up there. But in second place was the Buccaneers with 189. So you'd be in second place by a wide margin last year if you finish the season off and keep it going that way. That's just insane.
It is insane. And, I mean, it's pretty crazy the 180 that this front four has taken from last year. I mean, granted, Ngakoue is a big signing and was a big pickup for this team. Mm-hmm. But you just saw it just with last year. It's just such a drop-off. Just you couldn't get pressure. You're putting a young secondary just in harm's way every single game. You're relying on these first and second years guys to make plays, and they're getting burned constantly. Then their confidence is waning, and it's just such a breath of fresh air. I don't know what Gus Bradley's doing to coach them differently, but it's got to be. I mean, they're coaching them differently somehow. Whatever it is in practice is working. Keep doing it, Gus. So I don't know what it is, but it's a 180. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, it's pretty damning on Paul Gunther, too. Let's be honest. It's a pretty damning stat. I mean,
isn't it?
It's just. I don't know what we're doing. I mean, it was historically bad the last few years. It was the Raiders. It's actually funny too because the Cowboys we're talking about Trevon Diggs. The Cowboys are up there too with just total turnaround. And by the way, is it a coincidence that they're both Seattle guys turning around these defenses? Dan Quinn over obviously his former Seattle coordinator and now obviously Atlanta Falcons head coach. Now Dallas, Gus Bradley, former Jacksonville Jaguar head coach, obviously part of that Legion of Boom too. So maybe there's something there.
I mean, they found the right guy, and they found the right players to fit in with them. Yep. And you know how many times the opposing team has scored 30 on the Raiders so far this season?
Ooh, let's see.
I want you to think
not the Ravens. The Ravens did not, did they?
You want me to give you the number now?
No, hold on. I'm thinking Ravens. Ravens, no. Steelers, no. I'm going no, Chargers didn't score 30. They did not because they only let them score like 7 points in the second half. No one. Zero.
Zero.
Look at that.
Zero. Ha. Zero through seven games. You know how many last year they gave up 30 points through the first seven games of the year? You know how many games?
Every single one.
Five.
Jeez.
Not every single one. Just five.
It felt like it was every single one. God.
I know.
We had not one comfortable win last year other than maybe that one against Denver where Drew Lock threw 50 interceptions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean that's crazy. That just shows the jump that they've made from last year to this year. And I was going to actually go back to 2019, but in the first seven games, they only gave up 30 points like twice. So I wasn't going to use that as an example. So last year, we're just going to stick with that one and seeing how much it's changed. All right. Okay. We've done the defense. We've done the offense. We've done that. Let's go with one trick and one treat for this team this season.
By the way, does anyone really like you say trick or treat? Like, like, what are the trick part? There's no one tricking anyone like that. It's like,
yeah, what used to be the origin of that?
I have no idea. I'm gonna Google it right now.
What is it? Either you get a treat or you get punched in the face.
Tree origin.
Or maybe it's because you know, houses would only scare the kids and they wouldn't give them a treat after. You know? Like, yeah, they go through it, but they're totally tricked. They're not even getting a piece of candy at the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't find anything. This is going way too deep. I didn't know. We're going back to medieval Europe. It's not telling me anything I need to know, so we'll leave it there. But as I digress.
Oh, man, medieval times. They're like outside asking for a piece of
candy. Are we doing our Raiders roster trick or treat right now? Okay. And yes. I want to also do our entire NFL
teams
too. I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
So for the Raiders roster, treat first. I'll go get good news first. Casey Hayward's been awesome for this team. Just an absolute revelation. I mean, coming into this season, I didn't have the greatest expectations. I just knew we were getting a guy. It was nice to get an actual just veteran come in, not be terrible, be okay. But he's been one of the best corners in the league and one of the best bargains, obviously, too, with just 1 year, $6 million, whatever it was.
Yeah.
We're going treat there. Trick.
Ooh. I mean, it's hard to choose one.
I'm going Clee Ferrell, though. I got to go him. He's just been a disappointment throughout his entire tenure. I don't know if it's his fault. I don't know if he ever – it's not his fault he was drafted that high. I don't know what Mayock and Gruden were thinking there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Clee Ferrell. He's just – you never hear his name. If he's there, he's not making any plays.
Yeah.
So I'll go Clee Ferrell as my trick. Casey Hayward is my treat.
So – for me, I like that. I like the Casey Hayward. I mean, he's the number one corner, according to Pro Football Focus, in all of football. I mean, what more could you ask for? And we will get to the Mount Rushmore of free agents for the Raiders and where we're going to put them in what positions. But for me, I'd say the one treat, and there's a lot that you can choose from. And I'd say my number one, because it's between three guys. It's between Colton Miller, it's between Nate Hobbs, and Jonathan Abram. And I might have to go with Jonathan Abram.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's been so many times where a running back could bust out a big run, and Jonathan Abram is doing exactly what he's supposed to do as a safety and making the tackle. We know that he can do that. But it seems like with Gus Bradley, along with all these other coaches, it seems like he's taken a huge step forward. He's calmed down. He's matured as a defensive back as opposed to just running around wild. And, you know, eventually he's going to be coming up to the end of his rookie contract. I don't know when – I don't know what he's going to be worth. Maybe he's doing this for the money. I don't know if he's even going to be worth it. But I do think Jonathan Abram has been a big part of this defense. And, you know, with the lack of really any depth at the safety position, because after that you do have Trayvon Merrick, obviously their second round pick, but Dallin Levitt, I think is his name.
He stinks.
That's
who it is. He's a special teams guy. And he's like the third.
And we're not big fans of him anyway. You know. You know what I mean? He wasn't great in the pandemic struck world. So I'd go with Jonathan Abram as my treat, and my one trick. My one trick would be
can't go Gruden either. That's cheating.
No, you can't go Gruden.
Although blessing in disguise that he's gone, so
that's impossible. Yeah. I'd say my one trick. You know what? I'm gonna put Richie Incognito in that situation. This dude got signed to a big deal, and you know, like he's the only veteran that they kept around from that team, besides Colton Miller, obviously, but. I mean, Richie Incognito getting that money, being like the Raiders leader, and then just not even being able to get on the field. Same thing with last season. If we were doing this last year, it would be Trent Brown. But this year, it's Richie Incognito for me. I mean, are there any other tricks that we're leaving off the list here? Because I'm trying to think.
I mean, everyone's been pretty good. I was trying to go deep cuts, like special teams. Carlson's been good. AJ Cole's been good.
You know what? I there's another one we haven't really talked about, and we haven't talked about him too much this season. And maybe I'm wrong for this. Maybe
Jacobs?
I am. But
is it Josh Jacobs you're thinking?
No, not Josh Jacobs.
Because sneakily, I don't know. Something's weird. I don't.
Something's fishy with that.
Something's fishy with
He's always hurt.
Quick digression. He got taken out like heading into the half. They said a chest injury and he was out.
Yeah.
They said Bisaccia said it was nothing serious and that he was just sore and then he should be fine. And then Jacobs goes to Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was and was like, I'm fine. I don't have a chest injury. Something's been weird.
Ever since that first game against the Ravens when he was just limping off the field for what felt like after every run, including his touchdown runs, he just hasn't looked right all season. But I think that the trick that I was looking for was Corey Littleton. Corey Littleton, I heard this past – like when I had Vinny Bonsignor on this podcast from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, he told me that a lot was expected for Corey Littleton this season. Like he was supposed to make that jump because last year he was terrible for the contract that they gave him, whatever they were paying him, like $10.5 million a year, whatever that crazy contract.
Bonsignor knows because he covered the Rams, and when Littleton was on the Rams, that was some of the best plays he's out of his career. So,
And we were wondering, like, hey, maybe he was only good in that system behind Aaron Donald or with Wade Phillips as their defensive coordinator. And then this year, apparently he was in shape and was supposed to be much better. But right now, I mean, he's ranked 60th among all linebackers in Pro Football Focus. He's still missing tackles. He's really not good in coverage. As a matter of fact, he's terrible in coverage. If you ever go to
any not good
after the game, it's always – Corey Littleton that we're paying attention to. So I think you could put him on that list as well. That signing, he had a year to maybe make up for it, and he hasn't done it so far. Through
he also dropped a pick last week, which would have helped. Yeah. But he's a linebacker. I'm not going to be too hard on him for those.
Yeah. We could put Denzel Perryman and KJ Wright in the treat category.
Oh, absolutely.
Those two guys have been great.
Perryman leading the league in tackle. He's been awesome. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. I mean, KJ Wright.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gus Bradley guy, too, coming over from Seattle, part of the Legion of Boom. Man, he was, the last part of Legion of Boom, right? I don't think anyone else from – or Bobby Wagner. That's the only one, right? Yeah. He's the only one remaining.
Correct.
Okay. So, excuse me, right? Yeah, he was second to last piece of Legion of Boom there. So, he's been awesome. Just the theme for the defense is just getting guys, man. They just got some names and some credibility where they didn't have it before. There were just so many young first- and second-year guys just making mistakes. And you had guys like Paul Gunther calling plays. Now you just got some respectability in there with Gus Bradley and all these dudes. So it's just so refreshing to watch on third and long. Granted, they still drive you nuts occasionally, but not as much that, third and eight, we'll actually get off the field here. Wow, what a concept.
Hey, you know what? We could put Gus Bradley there too.
Yeah.
That man has been a treat.
Put Rich Bisaccia, put all this coaching staff, Greg Olson, all these guys have stepped up those last two games. I don't know how long this is going to last too. It could all fall apart. They could stink the bed against the Giants. I don't know. I'm enjoying this right now though, Steve. They had a really tumultuous couple of weeks and they've just been really good at blocking out the noise and playing really good football. I'm very proud of this team. How about that? I'm like a dad saying, you know what, Benny, good job. You got an A. I'm very proud of this team.
Now, let's look at a sequence here of plays as we are done with trick or treats. That's our Halloween bye week edition right there. But
real quick, team trick or treat. I'm going Bengals.
Oh, my bad.
Other than my Raiders, obviously.
Hang on, real quick. Before we get to the team ones, we'll get to those ones. I do want to
jump with the gun. Jump
I just want to focus this real quick as you were mentioning the Raiders stuff. But when the Eagles fumbled that ball, what was it? Third and goal. And Hurts fumbled it, and the Raiders ended up recovered, right? Brutal.
And the play before that, you remember Hurts tried to do a QB sneak, and Crosby did the Polamalu leap and jumped on him.
Crosby,
What a ball did he call it? The Condor leap? Yeah, that was great. Love that.
So you had that, right? You had the fumble. Then following that, the Raiders went 3-and-out on their own 6. And then the Eagles gave up a touchdown, or then the Eagles scored a touchdown on the following drive. So you get the turnover, you don't do anything with it, and the other team scores the touchdown on you anyway, pretty much nullifying that turnover. Well, that's what it would do before. But think about how much confidence you had in that Raiders team. You didn't even care that they went 3-and-out. Like beforehand, that would be something that decides the game. But you're up, what was it, 30-7? 30-7 before they scored that touchdown. You're like, yeah, they could score two. Who cares? They could score a touchdown. We're still up by 17. Who cares?
How refreshing was it, Steve, to see fourth and goal, we're going for it, and it's not a run up the gut or a dive or a stretch play. It was a quick slant to Bryan Edwards.
Yeah.
Is that much? It wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
Satya, Greg Olson, thank you. Not doing any of these BS Kenyon Drake up the gut plays on fourth and goal, fourth and short.
Yeah.
And there was no pre-snap penalties in these areas. That was huge. Mm-hmm. Leatherwood, I don't think, had a penalty. Did he? I think maybe he had one, maybe, but I don't remember him getting called. I mean, none of the offensive linemen, you didn't hear any of their names. That's just how you know you're having a great game. Like we said, Derek Carr only had two incompletions, so offense did its job. It was very refreshing to see. God.
Team trick or treats, who you got? One team that's a trick, one team that's a treat for you this year outside of the Raiders.
It's got to be the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, I wasn't buying any of that Ja'Marr Chase skepticism in the offseason either. It's like, this guy can't catch. This guy, it's like, please.
Yeah.
I don't want to go Iverson. We in here talking about practice. Relax, people. All right.
Yeah.
So that's a huge plus. I mean, and Raiders got them in a couple weeks. That's going to be a tough game. I think
that'll be a fun one.
I think that's in Vegas, which will help because it's chilly this time of year in Cincinnati.
True.
Derek Carr in the cold still scares me. So he still has to prove me otherwise there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going them. And I'll go – I don't want to steal yours. I was going to say I'll put in the Cowboys there too. But, I mean
– I got a trick that you're not even going to expect. Or a treat, excuse me, that you're not even going to expect.
Oh, okay. And then the team I'm most disappointed in is Miami Dolphins. It's just, I thought they'd be a playoff team. They were a playoff fringe team last year. I mean, the Raiders should have beaten them though, but leave that alone. Shout out Arden Key. But God, Brian Flores, I think he's a good coach still, but the whole Tua thing, flirting with Deshaun, now it looks like they're staying with Tua. Tua's not the guy, by the way. They made a huge mistake in not getting Justin Herbert and getting stuck with Tua Tugs. It's just that's a mess down in Miami. And the fact that they were even flirting with Deshaun Watson, like that would solve all their problems, I think I'm glad they didn't, because I think whoever touches Deshaun Watson is making a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. I would not touch that whole situation with a 10-foot pole. But Miami Dolphins, I'm going with my trick. Cincinnati Bengals going treat.
Fins down, pretty much now. It's no longer fins up. It's fins down.
Sorry, Tommy Hall. Sorry.
My treat for the season, and this is a weird one, and these guys have been a treat to watch week after week after week, and you know what? Maybe not these past two. This team doesn't have any wins on the season, but the Detroit Lions have been keeping it very close this year. A lot of these games, they're making a
big This isn't your trick? The winless team?
These are my treats, man. Look, they're an 0-for team, but they somehow managed to get it close. And the fact that Dan Campbell, it looks like these players love him. Jared Goff still stinks, but they have been a treat to watch this season, in my opinion. Everything that they've been doing out these past couple of weeks haven't been great, and I think they're on their way to their first win this week, as a matter
of fact. Is that an upset special? Okay.
I believe so. And I think they're well on their way to doing it. I really do. I think they've been going through it enough. It's this point in the year where Dan Campbell's going to stop crying at the podium. They've been an absolute treat for me.
Seeing Dan Campbell, a man that size, cry actually kind of got to me. I was like, oh, man, this means a lot to him. Like, this guy has his emotions on his sleeves.
Yeah.
And, I got not choked up, but I was like, damn, I'm sorry, bro. Like, some of the losses they've had, they could easily be like 3-4 or 2-5 at least. It's like, oh, brutal. Just brutal.
And one trick, well, I could easily go with the Kansas City Chiefs just because their offense stinks.
I'm not falling for this, by the
You're
way.
Not falling for it?
Tailpipe. Hang on.
All right. But my one trick, my one team that's tricked me, and I don't know, I didn't expect much from them, but I did think they'd be looking at least a little better, and I'm really frustrated in the way that they've handled everything with the quarterback, but it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know they're 3-3 on the year, but overall, I think they've just been a very disappointing team, and they're not going to do anything within the AFC North. I don't trust them. So the Steelers
divisions that are stacked, Steven, not to cut you off. AFC North, good Lord. Ravens, Browns, Bengals leading that division, by the way. And then you got the Steelers. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to see the Steelers and the Browns this weekend. And I think the Browns have a very real chance of winning that game.
Baker's going to play, it sounds like, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know how. Yeah. But I mean, it's like Najee Harris and Chase Claypool. Those guys are fantastic. The offensive line has been terrible, but it's just you got these pieces and it feels like you're wasting them away just because you're still stuck on the quarterback. And you know what? I can't speak for management there, for their front office. I don't know what it's like having a quarterback that's done as much as Ben Roethlisberger's done for the organization since 2004. Yeah, but imagine how hard it is to cut bait with a guy like that if you're part of the organization.
I mean, you haven't really won anything. Like,
I know, but this dude's meant a lot to us. It's really there comes the human element to this is really hard to deal with.
And that's why guys like Bill Walsh were so good, because it's always better to cut a person a year too soon than a year too late. And in Ben Roethlisberger's case, it's been about 5 years too late.
Wow.
Not good.
Wow.
Not good.
So those are our tricks and treats for this point in the season. Want to move on, though. Look, I don't know. I threw this in the notes, and I was just going to throw it out as a topic. But, I mean, is your MVP just Derek Carr and the rest of the team is just kind of
– Are we going, like, league MVP or our team MVP?
Team MVP. We're going with the Raiders here.
Okay. And we're not doing, like, the little cop me out, like, Rich Bisaccia and just – Can't put the coaches there. He's been. I'll put him in a separate category. He's been leading the team separately.
How about this? We'll do an MVP other than Derek Carr, because I feel like Derek Carr is the obvious answer here. Who would, outside of Derek Carr, who would be your MVP for the team this season?
Ooh, great question. I am going to go with. You hear that?
I do. That was good.
Great. Hunter Renfro. How about
Hunter
that?
Renfro?
Look at that. Sneaky. There every single game. He's catching at least 5 passes every single game. He's always there making the clutch play. Even in losses, he's tackling people who are trying to do fake punts. I'm going Hunter Renfro. Mr. Consistent. Darren Waller, up and down. Henry Ruggs, up and down. Brian Edwards, up and down.
More down than up.
Yeah, but he may have a touchdown. Edwards does something at least every game. I was like, he gets a touchdown or he gets a 50-yard pass or whatever. Just
yeah,
can't get mad at the guy. So I'm going Mr. Consistent, Hunter Renfro.
Wow. Wow. Well, I mean,
maybe
I like
because he reminds me of myself. That's why I like him so much. Little 5'10", 5'11", buck 85, buck 90. Toned. Look at these. Look at these guns. These are my Hunter Renfro guns right there. Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
There we go.
Those are not Hunter Renfro guns. You need to take a picture of yourself holding like some Brussels sprouts. See if that's real strength. But my one guy, and this is an obvious answer, and we talked about him all so much, but it's Max Crosby. The dude's been an absolute stud, and I think he's helped create an identity with this team. And they've talked so much about mental health, and rightfully so with this year, just because of how everything's gone with John Gruden. And Max Crosby's been through it before, and I think that he's one of the leading voices in that locker room, even though he's, 25 years old? I mean, he's younger than both of us, and apparently he's been through a lot as far as alcoholic problems and all that stuff. So him and Darren Waller both have been voices for the team in that aspect, and just everything that he's done on the defensive line, that pressure weight that pressure rate we talked about throughout the entirety of this podcast. Max Crosby's leading the charge there. I got to go with him. He's been so good this season.
I like
such
that.
A fun watch.
I like that. And you know what's great? And you mentioned his age. Just how many young guys are on this team mixed with some veterans? Like Max Crosby, young.
Mm-hmm.
Even Darren Waller. He's not even 30 yet, is he? Darren Waller's like 28, 29.
Yeah.
I mean, is Derek Carr the oldest person on this team?
The oldest person on the team has to be Hayward, right?
Casey Hayward. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Casey, I'm looking up ages right now. I was just thinking about this. I was like,
maybe Quentin Jefferson. Quentin Jefferson could be up there.
Yeah, that's one. Casey Hayward's 32, just turned 32. Let's see. KJ Wright. KJ Wright is. I don't care about any of this stuff. Just give me his Wikipedia page for Christ's sake.
Oh, boy.
Anyways.
Are you not looking up the younger team? Wait, are you searching up names separately? You know you could just look up the ages, right?
I found it. 32. So, yeah, okay, same age. So, KJ Wright and Casey Hayward. Okay.
And then Damian Square, 32.
And we're not counting guys that haven't played, like Richie Incognito. So,
why is Desmond Trufant on the roster on the Raiders page?
Quentin Jefferson's only 28. God, he's young.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Feels like he's been in the league for 30 years.
I know. Well, I always think of that altercation he got with the fan when he was in Seattle. You remember that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's what I always think of with Quentin Jefferson.
Man, Kwiatkowski, Carl Nassib, Denzel Perryman, and Jalen Richard. They're all 28 along with Quentin Jefferson. They're already, bro.
They're good. They're all in their primes. It's crazy, dude.
Oh, man. Think about that. Denzel Perryman is 28, leading the NFL in tackles. Me and you are 28.
I felt like Denzel – yeah, we're doing this.
We're leading the radio station in drops. Like, that's it.
Technical producers, baby. Let's go. That's us. What are you doing this week, Steve, for Halloween, man?
Oh, boy. Going to the Sharks game tomorrow.
Oh, what? Dude, they're good this year, Sharkies.
They're all right. They
start off 4-0. They've had a little skid. It's all right. It's early.
Yeah, they're on their way back down. There's the regression to the mean that's always
talked about. Evander Kane, is he still suspended?
He is. He's gone for 21 games because of a fake vax card, yikes. Allegedly.
Yikes.
Yeah. He does not need to be on the
team. He's on, as Dibs would say, not good human being more. That's the mount. I'd put him there.
Speaking of which, all right, let's do this real quick here as I just tried to come up with as many bye week topics as possible. And you know what? We are going to do it. Mount Rushmore. We all know Mount Rushmore. And we all know that there's, what, George Washington in the number one spot. Who's the other guy? Thomas Jefferson in the number two, Theodore Roosevelt number three, and Abraham Lincoln in the number four. I took four free agents that they signed earlier this year in the offseason. And the four are Yannick Ngakoue, Kenyon Drake, Casey Hayward, and then Solomon Thomas. We haven't even talked about Solomon Thomas yet as one of our treat options. But if you had to put these guys in the Mount Rushmore position, George Washington being number one, Thomas Jefferson being number two, Roosevelt three, and Lincoln four, I mean, is Ngakoue is Casey Hayward the number one? Is that just it? Is Casey Hayward in the George Washington position? If we had to go with Mount offseason free agent signing more.
Yes, because I'm putting Casey Hayward there because the secondary just had been so bad. It's just been – I mean, we've had Max Crosby, thankfully, these last couple of years who's shown out and he's made some flashes. But there's been no one in the secondary other than maybe the occasional Trayvon Mullen play.
Yeah.
I'm putting Casey Hayward there because it's just – we haven't had a corner this good, dare I say, since
– Nnamdi
Asamoah. Like, that's the last time we had a legit shutdown corner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting Casey Hayward there. But I will put Yannick Ngakoue in that second position, yes.
Yeah, the Thomas Jefferson position.
There you go. I'm never good at who's up there.
What about Kenyon Drake versus Solomon Thomas? Because I agree with you. I think those two should be in the first two right there. I do agree that Hayward should be in the Washington and Jefferson should be in the Ngakoue should be in the Jefferson. But the Roosevelt one, this is where it gets interesting. Because Kenyon Drake might have seemed like a disappointment at first, but these past couple of games, he's kind of been helping carry the load here.
I'm going Kenyon Drake third and Solomon Thomas four. Solomon Thomas has been great. He's been solid.
Yeah.
I think he's cleaned up a lot of the mess caused by Ngakoue and Crosby and Jefferson. He's been there occasionally. He's had some plays. I mean, he hurried Jalen Hurts a couple times last week. He looked good.
Yeah.
But I'm still going Kenyon Drake because he does have a lot more snaps, is a lot more involved in the offense. Yeah. And he's had some big games these last two. I mean, he's been huge. I mean, especially Jacobs out. It's been big.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
I like Solomon Thomas, though. He's a great story. One of the best stories of the year, I think.
I wish I could argue with you, but I just can't. I think Kenyon Drake's just been just as valuable. And Solomon Thomas right now is a 32 run defense grade, according to Pro Football Focus, which if
is
I
think good or bad?
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's awful. It's really where his pass rushing has been most effective. Batting down balls, hurrying after the quarterback, getting pressures, doing all
this. No one can play run defense, by the way, other than Jonathan Hankins on this team.
This is very true. This is very true. So, yeah, I guess I'd have to go with you. Whatever. Botch segment. Thought it would be a little more argumentative, but not really. It seems like
you can try to argue. I can take the opposite side. Kenyon Drake stinks. Solomon Thomas is better.
Oh, man.
Speaking of which, run defense, Raiders should be in the market for a guy like Fletcher Cox.
You think so?
I'm just saying.
You think he's worth a draft pick?
I'd shell a fifth rounder for him.
Really?
Why not?
I mean, just knowing how valuable some of these players have been in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. This was a fifth rounder, right?
Yeah.
I guess that'd probably be worth it. That, I mean, that's exciting. That's something we should act, that we're going to do next week.
He's only 30. Let's see what his current contract is.
Before the trade deadline. The trade deadline's coming up on the 2nd. We'll have a trade deadline preview show. Maybe guys we want. I think that the Raiders are on the radar of a lot of teams, and they're going to be buyers this season.
We don't want him to Vegas, Steve. That is a destination.
Mm-hmm. One other guy, you know what, before we even close this thing out and maybe you talk about Fletcher Cox, one other guy that's been involved in trade talks too is Cleveland Ferrell, and him being the 4th overall pick, total disappointment. No one expected that, and everyone was blaming Mike Mayock, but the fact that he is, I'd like to think that these GMs can be super stubborn with their guys, and with a guy like Ferrell, I feel like Mayock would want to give it just one more year until his rookie contract is up, unless he truly believed in the guy. I had a feeling that Ferrell's more of a Gruden guy, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's just hard for me to believe Mike Mayock drafting guys based on character. I mean, he was a draft guru for so long on NFL Network. He understands value. It's really hard for me to believe that that was the guy all along. Like, I know you say that to try to save face. Nah, I'm not buying it.
The fact that he's even involved in trade talks right now tells me that I think that was Gruden's guy. That's really what it tells me.
Yeah. By the way, Fletcher Cox's contract, he signed a 6-year extension. Not a 6-year, a 4-year extension. Beg your pardon. He is due. He has a cap hit of $26 million next year, and then after that, it's pretty reasonable, 7.8, 4.1, 2.7. So,
Damn, big of a cap hit, huh?
It's a big cap hit, but he's a good player. He's only 30. I mean,
yeah.
You'd have your defense set, right? I mean, him and Gakwe and Max Crosby,
that's a pretty damn good front. He's going to be a top name. For sure.
I don't think they have the cap flexibility, unfortunately, for that. I mean,
you do have to pay these other guys.
You can try to restructure it, maybe. But yeah, I mean, just ask the Rams. The cap's actually a myth. So.
Oh man. Well, Spadone, the Raiders are 5-2. This is a fun bye week show. We'll have a couple of more shows next week, and then we'll do more of a trade preview next Monday. And then hopefully we'll get our special guest who unfortunately couldn't join us today. But this is the longest episode that we've had yet, Spadone. How you feel about it?
I feel great, Steve. I think I'm in trouble right now, though, because I went too long. I got a text from the missus. You want to leave late, so because they're having a little daycare Christmas party, or not Christmas, Halloween party. And they're like, oh, you want to go? The parents are allowed in the last 30 minutes or an hour or whatever. It's like, you know, it's like, uh-oh. But then I just got a text. I hope she's not listening to the podcast. I lied and said, oh, yeah, I left early. Traffic is a killer right now. Actually, it is. It says it's taking me 45 minutes to get out of the city, so that's not great. Drove in. Fridays is usually not too terrible leaving, Steve, but it's telling me it's going to take 45 minutes to get to Oakland. Yikes. But then she just texts me, it's okay. I'm tired. I'm just going to rest. I'm like, oh.
Woo! And on that note, we got
to
end the podcast before you sleep outside tonight.
Yeah.
All right. For me, for Joe Spadone, this is Black Hole Sundays.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.